Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast. To my left, the man, the myth, the legend, way over here. Yeah.
It's a myth.
Pastor Bob.
Howdy, y'all. We're ready to go here today.
We're ready to go here.
You need to explain our talk today.
I do. Okay. Yeah. So today we're talking about deliverance, but specifically we're talking about tactics of the enemy, and we've titled this The Eyes of the Devil.
Not his physical eyes.
No. Right? No. I don't know anything about his actual eyes.
I don't know if he has.
I do know the capital I, apostrophe S, yes. Eyes of the Devil, things he gets us to focus on use against us.
Yeah. So as you go along, should people keep track of the eyes?
We'll see. I have 7 eyes for today. God. There might be more as we
apparently
get going.
The Spirit of God has a few too.
Yeah, he does. He has a lot of eyes. Well, and apparently
7 or so.
Well, I'll come up with an I word for it later, but we know the enemy is the ultimate copycat.
Absolutely.
Like he's not creative at all.
But counterfeit guy.
He is so good at counterfeiting. Okay, Dad. So now, I want to preface this. Pastor Bob has worked in the deliverance ministry for many, many years. He's a great resource. He's also done a complete training on deliverance that's totally free on our website. And if anybody would like to go watch that, I would encourage you to do it. I've gone through it, and it's powerful. It's one of our most popular trainings that we have available to everybody. So check that out on Spirit School of Ministry.
Actually, I want to brag about our team. Our team did a great job on that too, because they made me do it a lot better than I can.
Yeah.
They just put together things so nice. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's very good looking and it just works.
Well, yes, it's a team. It's always a team effort here. But if you want it more on deliverance, check out that training. Okay, for today, the eyes of the devil.
Oh, yes.
Dad, why don't we start with the first eye that the enemy comes after us in, and that's identity.
Oh, yeah. Probably one of the biggest things, right? Mm-hmm. Because he will tend to, his tactics, now we're talking about his tactics.
Yes.
His tactics are there, they're specific to a situation. I want people, if they're thinking about tactics, to think about them as they are honed in and made very specific to your life, mm-hmm. your situation. Because mm-hmm. the enemy, he can't read your mind, right?
Right.
But he can read, he can see what you're up to, what you're doing. And, you know, so spirits will adjust their attack, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. their temptation, their whatever you want to call it,
right,
to your situation. So if they see you running around, not really sure of who you are, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe you're even confessing out loud, well, I don't know who I am in God, and mm-hmm. I don't know what, you know, what I've been called to, how I, you know, what's next, all of those things. Then you will see a very specific tactic just formulated mm-hmm. against you mm-hmm. and who you are in God.
Wow.
And it will get down as it progresses, and I like people to know this, as they progress, it will get down to the heart of who you actually are in Christ.
Right.
And ultimately, it will get to who Christ is.
Hmm.
So it erodes everything about you, because we know this from the word that in him we live and move and have our being. Everything right. about our lives is in Christ after we come to Christ.
Right.
And so it's not supposed to be outside of that. So everything about our identity, who we are as a mm-hmm. person mm-hmm. is actually focused in Christ.
Right.
Sometimes we do a really good job of diverting from that, but mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. focusing on that. And the enemy loves that.
Right.
Because he can't take away who you are, but he can convince you not to operate as you are.
Right.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense. So that falls in line with mm-hmm. you know, exactly how the devil tempted Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? When Christ goes into the wilderness, he's led there by the Spirit, and here comes the attacks on his identity, if you are
right.
the Son of God.
Right. And it's a very common attack, and he did it actually the first time in the garden.
Right.
If you actually think about what he's talking to Adam and Eve about, mm-hmm. and he's like, hey, you know, God doesn't even want you to partake of this because you'll be like God. Mm-hmm. And so, by the way, they were already made in his likeness and image. Right. They were already given dominion over every. They already had, matter of fact, I like to say, they even had dominion over him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But so when he attacks your identity, what happens is you'll relinquish your authority
right.
that you have, that God's given you in the earth, mm-hmm. in your life first mm-hmm. and primarily,
right.
and in things around you, but also your authority you have over the enemy so mm. that, you know, you stop believing that you're more than a conqueror.
Right.
You hear what I'm
yes,
saying?
Yes, sir, yeah.
And so there's a lot at stake in mm-hmm. identity attack.
That's so good.
And so that's why I believe he tends to go there mm-hmm. Strategically, if you will, and first, because he wants to erode that away. Mm. It's an erosion process. You know, it's not, I would say it's easy if the enemy comes in, you know, and he's got, you know, horns.
His red pajamas. You know, yeah.
He has red pajamas and the pitchfork, whatever he's got.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, the devil. I think I'll skip. You
yeah.
know? But he
yeah.
doesn't. He comes, you know, as an angel of light, like mm-hmm. the word says. Right. I like to say he comes with blonde hair and blue eyes. Blue jeans. That's a whole different thing.
Like, I'm getting a picture of Fabio yeah. right now. Like,
yes, you know. But he yeah. comes to rob you of your identity, mm-hmm. but he can't take it.
Mm.
Only you. Can relinquish it.
Wow.
And you actually can't give it away. Mm-hmm. You can just not operate in it. So right. that's a whole nother thing
huh.
because as we believe,
right.
When you're in Christ, it's a done deal.
Right.
You've come to him.
Right.
And which is important for people listening to this, because if you are wrestling with that, mm-hmm. then maybe you need to make sure that and secure that your salvation is in Christ Jesus
right.
alone.
Right.
And that and once that's fixed in you mm-hmm. and that you know, like we teach here all the time, you're born again, not of corruptible seed,
right.
incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Once you know that, you know, in him we live and move and have our being. Mm-hmm. Once you know you're secure in his mm-hmm. life,
mm-hmm.
Then you'll know that the enemy can't take it. Actually, nobody can take it away, and you can't give it away. You can just not operate in it anymore.
That's so good.
There's such a security in that.
Right.
Such a power. Anyway,
this is so good. Yeah. So you're probably going to do more of the talking, which I know that you
well,
don't
you
like to
too,
always
know. I know you have a lot of
so
thoughts about this.
I have a thought, and you just mentioned yeah. another eye Uh-oh. Of the devil. Insecurity.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting, right? He attacks the identity to birth in you or form in you or
right.
conform you to an insecure.
Yes.
So he's eroding away at that trust
right.
that is so key to our identity in Christ, right? Like the reason why I believe I am in Christ or have faith towards that and I operate towards that is because God is trustworthy. I trust mm-hmm. him. And I trust my life into his hands. But the enemy is constantly trying to dismantle my grip, you know, on
right.
or erode away at that trust
right.
through insecurity.
Absolutely. And so he's basically trying to get you to relinquish the hold that you have on your trust, if
right.
you will. And that your trust, the faithful God, mm-hmm. has on you.
Mm.
So it works both. Matter of fact,
wow.
praise God, it works the other way because God has us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the enemy can, all he can do is come in and go, you know, well, God doesn't really have you, does he?
Mm.
Are you really his son? Are
right.
you really his daughter? Are you really, you know, what about that? Have you considered this? Like, oh, by the way you've been acting recently.
Uh-huh. Let's
you know,
get into
that. That doesn't look like a son. That doesn't look like a son
right.
at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe I'll, you know, on a lot of levels, mm-hmm. like I said, this identity thing, he would like to make you an orphan.
Wow. Yeah, again.
Yeah, again.
Right.
Yeah. We know that we were.
Right.
We were that without Christ in the world, we were lost.
Right.
And he rescued us. He brought us mm-hmm. into his family. He adopted us mm-hmm. in, and he made us partakers of his promise and of his greatness
so good,
and his
yeah.
grace and his mercy. And and partakers of him.
Mm.
And so, you know, and that's why I keep saying in him we live and move and have our being. It's, we are fully immersed.
There's
another, you know, in him.
That's a good I word.
And, but the enemy would like you to be immersed in lies.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Because lies, create fear. And remember, he's the father of lies.
That's right.
Right. So that means he births them. Like everything he says is a lie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
That's perfect. So that leads to one of our second I's for today is insinuation.
Ooh.
This word means to trick, to, it's like the classic bait and switch, to con somebody.
Yes.
It's a sneaky, subtle kind of winding in. And it is, it's obviously like it's, you said a moment ago, he comes like an angel of light. He presents like, it's going to be a really good thing. Like when he presented to Eve, he's saying, well, don't you want to be wise? Essentially, he's like implying like, well, don't you want to be wise? This will make you wise.
Right.
Implying you're not wise. Right. So there's the subtle dig or attack on identity, but he's using this tactic of insinuation to imply that something is out of order,
right?
Or something's not whole.
I like when you said the bait and switch thing, or what I call it is a he comes in like a boxer does. Matter of fact, a lot of this that we're discussing actually came out of you listening to a class that we give,
Dollar
Spirit 3. It's advanced leadership training and or ministry training at our school, and we're teaching on deliverance.
Right.
It's a deep dive. It's you know, six, seven weeks of that, and probably more at some times. And then one of the times we spoke recently, kind of locked something into your soul. And I know you're very involved in deliverance yourself, so you know how to operate in this. And so what we talked about in there was how we're in a fight,
right?
We know we're in a fight.
Now, right.
I don't think we should be focused on just, we're always in a fight. We're always in a war, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's not good to be devil-minded 100% of
the time, really
right? You should be aware and discerning, but you shouldn't be focused. We should be more God-focused than devil-focused. He would like to have your focus.
Oh, sure.
And he would like to, like I like to say, magnify himself so you're like locked into him, because then he can bring fear and intimidation, all the things we're going to talk about.
Right.
And so this this kind of bait and switch thing you're talking about, he when you're in a boxing match with someone will throw like a fake punch.
Right.
Right?
A feint. Right?
Yeah. Exactly that. And so that you'll react to that, but what he's setting up is something else. He's setting up the knockout punch. And so what you do is you open up for that attack,
right?
So this is what you're talking about here, when we start to speak about this bait and switch or whatever we want to call it here.
Sure.
This next eye, it's just the it's this his tactic to fake you out.
To fake
you out so that you concentrate on something that isn't really the, it isn't really the thing.
I'm getting the picture of the boxers that are like, they're winding their arm, like, look over here.
So you have to understand he's pretty good at what he does.
Right.
He's been doing it forever.
I like something you just said where you said the devil, he tries to get us, we don't want to be devil focused.
Right.
Right. Like there's a devil around the corner. The enemy's doing this. Like, discernment is one thing. That's wonderful. Yes, we have to realize we're in a warfare, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So, but what's interesting is you said, if we stay focused on the enemy, he does this bait and switch. He says, look over here. Look over here. What about this? Hey, and all the while he's
coming in a whole different way.
Sneakily inserting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he, you know, and so this is, okay, so when we taught this in our group and when we teach it, we talk about the difference between the strategy and the tactic. And the strategy is an overall view, your overall plan, if you will. So overall, what your purpose is, where you're going. Well, the enemy's purpose and plan is to get you to stop being who you are in Christ.
Right. You say that's his overall strategy.
That's his overall strategy.
Okay.
So because he recognizes he can't have you, he can't own you, but he can get you to put down who you are and not operate in who you are, which, by the way, has an effect on all sorts of things. It has an effect on people who aren't saved, who you could possibly evangelize and bring to Jesus.
Right.
It has an effect on people that you can minister to, because all of a sudden, you know, people are out there wandering around and you don't feel qualified to help them in any way because you've, like, say, lost your identity, you're paying attention to the enemy's faint and bait and switch and all that stuff. So you're so, he's got you, he's taking your focus off of your purpose, right? That's what he's very capable of doing, only if we join him in it and allow him and believe him.
Believe the lie.
He can't, and I keep wanting to reiterate this to people, he can't take it from you. He doesn't have that power. He doesn't have the power really to take your life. That resides with God.
Right.
God takes your breath and you're gone. He breathes life into you, you live. The enemy can try to convince you that your life's not worth anything.
Sure.
And that you should take your life. Like he did with Jesus.
Right.
Yep. Same thing. Tempted him. And so there's this component of the enemy that we need to see, his strategy, his overall strategy, like, oh, so he's got this master plan to get you to just pull back, back up. You know, the word talks about this, like, you know, they pulled back into like perdition. And there's a little bit different there, which going on in the Old Testament, but it's this pulling back from your faith, and who you are in Christ. And then he actually wins that battle.
Right.
You know, I would like to say he doesn't get to win the whole war.
That's right.
He can win that battle with you.
Man. Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
That's good. So, he tries to convince us to quit, because that's the only way that he can beat us.
And by the way, you know, he's very successful at that. Right? You know people who quit, right?
Sure.
And matter of fact, the longer you stay quit, okay, the more likely you're going to be a person that actually starts doubting God, who God is. Is he a God? Does he exist? The more he, you know, this is part of that temptation.
Right.
Hath God said?
Right.
Well, by the way, he's acknowledging God in that, but he's like, you know, and he does it with Jesus too, really. Mm-hmm. He's acknowledging the word, the specific word, but wanting Jesus to give up his identity and give up who he is.
Right.
But he can't take it from him, you notice.
Right.
He's just trying to instigate Jesus into falling into that, like he did with Adam and Eve.
Right.
And which, by the way, which he does with us.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's successful at that. But praise God, we have repentance.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. Another I word there. You said instigate.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Is
so
that one of them.
it's not, but it actually works with number three.
What's that?
Behind door number three, we have intimidation.
Oh.
The tactic of intimidation. So we know the enemy comes to kill, steal, destroy.
Yeah.
That's his overarching. Would you say that's his strategy? Mm-hmm. That's his intention, what he's trying to accomplish. But he uses the tactic of intimidation.
Yes. And I alluded to this a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Intimidation comes with, for the enemy, from the enemy's point of view, is I make myself bigger than I am.
Right.
I make myself stronger than I am, so that you're afraid of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you are, like I said earlier, a child of God who is more than a conqueror, who has the Holy Spirit residing in you, who has the power of the living God in you, with you, all right? Who you can actually call on in faith and command things. You know, Jesus, hey, greater works than these shall you do.
Right.
You know, just speak to the mountain.
Right.
Right. You know, resurrect the dead. We have power in us. We haven't tapped into all the power yet.
Sure.
Because it is faith access.
Right.
And, you know, but we it's resident in us. Mm-hmm. He is resident in us. And the enemy wants to intimidate, when he tries to intimidate somebody, he's like a bully, you know, I'm bigger than you, I'm stronger than you, you can't. And if, well, actually, probably everybody's ever grown up has seen a person who you knew was stronger than the bully back down away from them.
Right.
Because they got afraid for some reason. And you're like, dude, You know, you could take that guy.
Just do this.
Right. And, you know,
hey.
You know, boom, right?
Yeah.
And so, but you pull back, mm-hmm. right, in mm-hmm. fear. Mm-hmm. And then, and by the way, when you pull back, the enemy's real good. Now, remember, he tempted you.
Right.
I'm saying intimidation is a temptation mm-hmm. also, yes. Mm-hmm. He tempted you to pull back. And when you pull back, he adds shame
yep.
to it.
Immediately.
Right? Oh, yep. Oh, we're guys, so we get this yeah. song, you know. You're a punk.
Yeah.
Right? You're just afraid, so you're just pulling
what
back.
What kind of Christian are you?
Yeah,
you're so kind of, weak.
Exactly that. And yep. so that is a intimidation. Like, all, by the way, all of these things have other things that they do. Right, they insert themselves into other parts of our lives,
right.
in the other parts of our soul, what, mm-hmm. how we think about ourselves.
Right,
right. He has to convince you, right, to change the way you think about you,
right.
the way you think about God, because the way you think has a great possibility that you'll operate like
right.
that.
Right, right.
you'll yeah, start yeah, to yeah. operate like that, even if it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, even yeah. if it's not true, you'll put your faith in a lie.
Right.
Like there that's a pretty again. Heavy.
That's an insinuation, right? Like, oh, this sounds really good to believe in. Then you
right.
start attaching yes. your faith to that. And what's underneath it is just poison.
Yes. I love these eyes that wow. you're coming up with because they are all so fully connected. By
right.
the way.
Oh, they are.
You know, I'd love to say, okay, and we are talking about this. They're mm-hmm. tactics, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to be able to identify a specific attack mm-hmm. tactic, but you have to understand that they are all connected
right.
to the overall strategy, to the purpose that he has.
Yeah.
And once you get that, you'll be able to discern what's happening to you then.
Mm.
And if you have the gift of discernment of spirits,
right.
which is different than just discernment, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you actually have that gift, then you know, God, you know, will bless you with, you'll be able to identify, oh, that's that spirit that's bringing that
right.
particular lie.
Because mm-hmm.
they do have assignments.
Sure.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, we talk about like the devil, the enemy, Satan, all that, and that's a very specific being that's mm-hmm. kind of in charge of the whole mm-hmm. mess. But the spirits do his work.
Right.
They are very much set up like an army,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about an army, and what we're discussing here, strategies,
right.
tactics, armies have, you know, if you will, a general,
right.
okay? And they're overlooking a whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And their situation is to take over that whole place, let's
right.
just say a land, okay?
Right.
But they realize it's done in particular ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we need to attack in those mountains. Well, the tanks won't work in those mountains.
Sure, sure.
okay.
Right.
Maybe we need to bring in some aircraft to soften it up,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to have to bring people, men mm-hmm. on the ground to, you know, infantry
mm-hmm.
to take that place.
Right.
Oh, by the way, that place over there, that's the water, the infantry is not going to operate real well there.
Mm-hmm.
So our tactic there is to bring, you know, gunboats in.
Yeah.
People trained for that will operate in that specific tactic,
mm-hmm.
if you will,
mm-hmm.
operation to affect what the end goal is.
Right.
And so think about it that way, that they actually, the enemy actually operates that way.
Right.
He's got, you know, hierarchy and he sends out commands, much like an army does.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I think Paul, when he talks, you know, we don't fight against flesh and blood
right.
and power. This is why he says, you know, casting down imaginations,
right.
bringing to captivity. This
right.
is why he says, put on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are all military kinds of military and fighting terms,
yeah.
if
yeah.
you will. And like I said, I don't believe that we need to be minded in that area mm-hmm. 100% of the time.
Sure.
I think it's not healthy.
Right.
I think that, you know, people that are, it's an interesting situation.
Right.
But I believe that we do need to be alert to that or be able to spot that when it's coming.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just came to what came to mind mm-hmm. as you were talking about explaining that whole thing is like, we can't be afraid to engage the enemy.
Right.
Because that's like you were saying earlier, we are more than a conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's made us to be overcomers. He's actually given us authority over the enemy.
Right.
That was so key what you said earlier, you know, where you were talking about Adam and Eve and how they gave up their authority
because mm-hmm.
they had authority over the enemy right at that time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They had authority
and
over
so,
everything.
And so it is, as we are in Christ, we have the same authority over the enemy, you know, to to absolutely, especially in, individually, right? In my mind, I can, or my life, I can stop the thoughts that are coming into my mind. Right. I can capture them, like the Word of God says, take every thought captive. I can examine it, bring it into subjection, and make sure and see if it lines up with Christ. And if it doesn't, I actually have the authority to take it and cast it away.
Absolutely.
And reject it. And Bible says, in a couple of different spots, but it says resist the devil. I can tell him no. I heard you saying this in the training yesterday, but I can actually, I think somebody needs to hear this today, but you can actually say no, right? It's like the intimidation of a bully, you know, the picture we get in the schoolyard is that a lot of times bullies just keep coming because we don't say anything.
Right.
We just kind of clam up and go, and we just kind of get very intimidated. But what God has enabled us and empowered us to do as sons and daughters of the Most High is to step forward and to say, stop.
Right.
No, I reject this. I don't receive this. I will not allow this into my life. And just that simple act of resisting puts you on the offense now instead of just getting bombarded by
more lies.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's so true. I think just that simple, we see it in the examples in the Bible, the successful and the unsuccessful. The unsuccessful was Adam and Eve, who, you know, Eve began a discourse with the enemy.
Right.
She engaged him. And then you see that the command of the Lord got kind of morphed a little.
Right.
You know, and so it now she's engaging and part lies are coming in and, you know, all that. Jesus did not take that. And by the way, he was confronted with the Bible.
Right.
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 But he understood that Bible was out of context.
Right.
Right. It was given, the word was given out of context, which is another, you know, the way the way the enemy operates. And so what Jesus did is this is where he discerned, right?
Right.
Oh, that scripture is not for this situation. And we have to be aware of that.
So
I think
good.
I want to talk to somebody now I know is listening to this that sometimes you can be fooled, and I believe it's a religious spirit, fooled into thinking that every scripture applies every time for every situation. Like you just grab the scripture, bring it in your situation, and make it work. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, he gives his word specifically, and he prospers it where he sends it.
Right.
Right. Not where we drag it into and
That's
force
such
it,
a good
you
word.
Know, and just like, you know, shoehorn it into place. And so we have to understand that. And by the way, just like we were just talking about, we're more than conquerors, right? But part of what God has equipped us with is the church.
Right.
Right. So there are times we stand up, like you said, and say no. There are times when you must stand with the church and say no, or you may have to get backup, or you may have to get encouragement or connection. Like you can't be disconnected from the rest of the church. It'd be, you know what? Your hand is really good at holding a sword and fighting, but without your arm, your shoulder, the rest of your body, your brain directing it, your hand is pretty useless with the sword, right? It's just going to lay there on the ground. And so it needs the connection, right?
That's
good. And so this is part of that,
right?
This is part of it. I don't want people to go away thinking, okay, I'm more than a conqueror, so I'm just going to fight the devil. I'm like, first of all, don't engage him.
Sure.
Just say no to him. Don't go like that. Most of those scriptures that talk about casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought, you know, people, I think, try to assume that that's casting down the imaginations the devil brought,
right?
Which it could be, taking control of the devil. In reality, I believe that most of that is our thoughts, that maybe the enemy's influence, right? Or maybe not. Maybe our own heart has influenced it, you know, where we haven't like we haven't directed our heart into
the word.
Sure,
we may have conceived that ourselves.
Yeah. Right. And we haven't fully brought the word into mm-hmm. our heart
right.
in an area. So something rises up from our life or mm-hmm. a memory from something. Mm-hmm. But I believe that a lot of that casting down, a lot of that bringing into captivity, mm-hmm. which is a power move, right. like I said earlier, is actually for our own thinking, like right. how we think mm-hmm. about stuff or how we've been convinced to think about stuff. It's not, you know, you're holding the devil down on the ground and right. beating him up. It's like, you know, I mean,
sure.
I mean, even, you know, Jude talks about it, you know, and he's like, he talks about, you know, the Lord rebuke you.
Sure.
Not, you know, because Satan hindered, you know, even God's angels.
Right.
I mean, it's like, hello, you probably don't want to meet him in a dark alley.
Right.
And even though you're more than a conqueror.
Right.
Now, someday you might, mm-hmm. but now you're going to be fully equipped. And I have a sense you're going to be with the body of Christ.
Yeah. You're probably not going to be solo.
I don't think you're going to be alone. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, because so good, you know, because he's coming back for a glorious mm-hmm. church without spot or wrinkle. Mm-hmm. That means a church that's operating in power and authority as only the church can.
Yes.
Not just an individual. Now we do step into individual, you know, things that we overcome in our own life and sometimes individually against specific enemies. I get all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But the big picture, if we want to know our strategy,
right,
which is our
so
big
good.
Picture.
Go into that, yeah.
Right? It's us coming into the likeness and image of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. fully mm-hmm. and our lives conforming to his life.
Right.
And our lives demonstrating the power and authority that he's given us in
Amen.
The earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it goes way beyond just I, it's just me.
Right.
See, Jesus is coming back for me. Right.
He's back for a bride.
A bride.
Yeah.
A church. A glorious church.
Right.
And so this church is manifested, that means. It's
That's so good. Yeah. I love that context, Dad, where you're putting it into we, the body of Christ, mm-hmm. Us who are in Christ. It says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It doesn't say I overcame right. by right. the blood. It's
exactly
they.
That.
They is the ecclesia, right? The ecclesia, the church, the right. the those who were found in Christ and right. faithful to him right. all the way to the end.
They're the called out ones that received the calling and answered.
Yes.
They came to the connection. They came to the gathering.
That's good.
And the ecclesia, you know, mm-hmm. from our Greek lady over there in Greek, mm-hmm. you know, that is also, those are the people who actually determine what's going on.
Right.
Because they are the ones who responded to the call.
Right. Oh, man, that's super good. So I want to, just real quick for everybody listening, I want to give a picture. You know, you were talking about warfare and strategy mm-hmm. and that sort of things. It is quite often in warfare that you operate in teams or you operate in a company, like you operate in a unit, right, a group.
Yes.
and so I just sense like there's some people that feel like they're in a battle, but they feel like they're in the battle alone.
Yes.
And what they need to realize is they're not in the battle alone, although the enemy's tactic will, you know, there's another I word, isolation.
The isolation, yes.
He wants to isolate you mm-hmm. and go, let's go mano y mano.
Right.
Let's go one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get to, also in that scripture before he says resist the devil, he says mm-hmm. submit to God.
Right.
So that's pulling back into mm-hmm. your high tower, your
right.
your fortress, your deliverer, you know, the mighty one, the one who is the deliverer mm-hmm. and will set you free and will fight for you and be a shield to you. You're drawing nigh unto God.
Yes.
And then you're resisting.
Absolutely.
There's a, such a, you know, we're talking about tactics today, mm-hmm. but here's an overcomer's tactic is
right.
to draw back into God or into the people of God.
Absolutely.
Or into a brother, trusted brother or sister, draw yourself into the word mm-hmm. where you will be in union with the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit and Christ, who is the word, right? Right? So we have to realize we are in a battle, but you're not out there Han Solo with a lightsaber
right.
and nobody around you, and you're able to do all this on right. your own. That's another tactic that's of the enemy to isolate you into.
Make
you know,
it, here's another one, and make you an individual.
Oh,
hey, another eyes. Get the only eyes.
Independent
individual. Oh. Well, you know, it's interesting.
I'm writing these down. There's more eyes.
So the interesting thing is how Jesus, when he was tempted, and by the way, he was probably tempted 10,000 times more than just what's written in the Bible as far as the temptation in the wilderness. But in there, we see a very interesting thing, because when he's tempted there, he resorts back to the Father and the Father's word each time.
So good.
Right? Yeah. God, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, right? He's looking to, you know, the word, the Father himself, you know, who he is also in the Father. You know, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God, right? He's speaking both of himself as God, but he says man there.
Right.
So he's looking to the Father, right? You know, and it's the Lord you will worship and no other.
Right.
So he's all three temptations, which were actually the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, and the pride of life.
They were
all attacks, tactics built for those parts of our life, by the way, right?
Right.
He resorted to the Father. He didn't go, "Hey, I'm Jesus. I've come to save the world." He didn't do that, did he? He could have, right? Because that would have been true. But he was showing us how we do it.
Right.
Because he was all man in here on the earth. And this is how he resisted the enemy, and the enemy left him for a time.
For a season, right? Yeah.
And so so it's interesting. So he demonstrates the same thing. This is why when he's praying for his guys, his disciples in John 17, he's praying that they will be one and be so connected in each other as he is with the Father, and then he's inviting them into that relationship, that discipleship with the Father,
right?
And so, you know, make them one as we're one, you know? And so there, this, it's not an individual battle.
Right.
It can never be.
That's so good. It wasn't even individual for Christ.
Not at all. Not at all.
Wow.
And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but like he checked out 2,000 years ago and he left it for the rest of his body to take care of, you know, business here on the earth, right? It's these greater works than these you do. I mean, he, if you will, put that authority into the church, you know, you know, and by the way, he showed this example. He sent them out, not alone.
Right. That's right.
And he says, "I give you authority," right? Tread on serpents, scorpions, all power of the end. He's investing authority into these strategic teams.
Yeah. They were sent two by two, right?
Yeah.
He never sent anybody solo. There's nobody operating solo.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's a little crazy. And try not to wrap your mind around that he also sent Judas out. That one's a painful one.
Knowing exactly
most
who.
Yeah. Knowing it.
You imagine the team, they're like, "I don't want to go with Judas."
You
really? Okay, Lord.
And by the way, apparently they all came back, including Judas.
Apparently he also performed some works.
He did some things.
Yeah.
There was a time there when he believed.
Man. Okay, a couple more eyes. We're doing really good. So you mentioned this the other day in the training. I thought it was so good. It's the eye of being impulsive, or the tactic of getting us to act on impulse.
Right.
Can you speak to that?
Yeah. And once again, and I keep going back to the two very specific examples of the beginning, the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus. Right. So they are like a really good, you know, example, if you will. And you know, when the enemy came to Eve, she didn't have to make that decision right then.
Right.
But he pressed her. Oh, see, God knows, you know, you'll be like him. You'll be able to, you know. So there's this impulse kind of going on there. Jesus, later on, he impulsive. By the way, the guy was probably starving.
Right.
He says he came to him after he hungered in the out there in the wilderness. So now, you know, if we look at it, he's out there 40 days or whatever, and he's out there
he's
a while.
Hungry.
If you haven't eaten or anything for
five, ain't eaten in 40 minutes.
Start to shake. I'll do whatever you say. Just give me.
I'll jump off this.
It's like he's the tactic he's using is, hey, you know, you're hungry. You should take care of that.
Wow.
You know, by the way, you're a young man. Let me show you the whole world. You know, mm-hmm. if you bow before me, mm-hmm. come on, look at what's in front of you here. Right. I mean, it's everything every 30-year-old young man would ever want.
Right.
Right? Do it. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, or how about, hey, you can jump off the, you know, off the steeple because, hey, it says you won't get hurt.
Right.
Right? It's like, well, jump. Just jump. And by the way, that impulse happens. And I believe that happens also with people because they enter into despair, especially in suicide situations.
Sure.
And there's nothing, they've lost sight of, like we said earlier, their identity. A lot of things have added up.
Sure.
And then
they're eroding.
Then the impulse happens. Then it's like, push, go do it, pull the trigger, you know, hurt yourself, you know, do something. And it's in that moment that he uses that tactic.
Wow.
And it's cruel, ruthless tactic.
Right.
It's designed to, because he can't take your life. Right?
Somebody needs to hear that today.
Oh, yeah. He could have.
The enemy cannot
right, cause,
take.
Well, he would have just life. Pushed. Look, he brought Jesus up there. Mm-hmm. Right? It says right. that. It says he
Pinnacle,
brought him up.
Right.
So he had some ability to get Jesus up there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did he drag him up there? Did he pick him up on his shoulder? I don't know. But he brought him up there. Mm-hmm. He could have pushed him off, but he couldn't.
Right.
But he couldn't. He was looking for Jesus to give up the assignment he had. His overall strategy was to come to face a horrible death on the cross,
right?
To be buried and to raise again on the third day. Mm-hmm. That was his assignment. That was his purpose.
Right.
His purpose for him and for us.
Right.
And he was trying to get him to relinquish that person. I actually believe if he had jumped, he would have died.
Sure.
And that scripture would have not applied because Jesus, he said it, hey, don't tempt the Lord. Like he's telling you, hey, this is not the situation. I did not come for this death, for this situation like this.
Right.
I came for the cross.
Right. I did come to lay my life down, but I did not come to lay it down this way.
That's right.
Wow.
And so so the enemy knew who had the power to lay his life down or not, just like you and I.
Right.
Just like you and I.
Right.
But with these things that we're talking about, the impulse, intimidation, finding, you know, missing your identity and who you are, all of these things, when they start to culminate and wrap around a person's soul and the person starts to engage it and starts to argue with the enemy and starts to, it's only, that's when it can get to that place.
Right.
Where it's probably just better if I just give up my life.
Man.
Like that's what actually happens. So what happens is in that process is I believe a person loses all hope. Mm-hmm. So despair enters in. Mm-hmm. So the enemy knows that if he can get despair into your soul,
right?
That and where the word is saying, you know, even with all the stuff around your life and some of it's horrible stuff, right? We get, I'm not saying it's all bright lights.
Sure, sure.
But even with that, my hope is in him.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, though you slay me, I will praise you. Then my hope is in you, no matter what. No matter what, we still have a everlasting hope.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We have, you know, we have his goodness.
Yeah.
His kindness. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Like, yeah. I love it. Yeah. We have to remember who we are in Christ. Uh-huh. And we have to go deep into that and develop that. You know, that's why, you know, we talk to, you know, our students all the time and even ourselves and
absolutely.
You know, Pastor Bob's my spiritual father. So, you know, we talk about these things a lot, but we have to be in the word. We have to water our lives with the word. Mm-hmm. We have to wash our lives with the word, that the entrance of his word gives light. I think I heard you quote that the other day, like the illumination of what is going on, the discernment, right? Mm-hmm. The word of God is a discerner. It can divide between thoughts and intents. It can divide between what my soul wants and what the Spirit is leading, right? So we have to have the word of God. It's not about being a Bible scholar, you know, but it is being able to use the living word
absolutely
in our life to then thwart and dismantle You know, the Bible says to be aware. We don't want to be, as another I word, ignorant of his devices. Yeah. These contraptions and these sneaky, cunning, you know, layered deceptions mm-hmm. that the enemy concocts mm-hmm. and then he deploys towards us. We need to be able to, like a bomb squad, like,
right.
Wait, careful with that. You know, we need to, let's go get the team. Let's examine this thing. Okay, here's how we dismantle this and dismantle that. And then this is now not going to have any Absolutely. Effect at all. It won't blow up. There, you know, there will be no shrapnel. There'll be no,
right.
you know, so there's a really important building of our identity mm-hmm. that we must step into. Mm-hmm. And that comes from being in the Word.
Yes. And I would say being in, you know, we must immerse ourselves, mm-hmm. another I word, in the
good
in
I
the,
word
in,
yeah.
the, in the Word. And we must allow the Word to enter into us. Mm-hmm. And when I say enter into us, I don't, some of it is memorization.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
But also speak to your soul mm. so that your soul captures the heart
right.
of God.
Right.
Like what he's saying in his word. I will never leave you or forsake you.
Right.
So when the enemy is coming in with his intimidation, with all these other things mm-hmm. we're talking about, and he's like, you're all alone. You're out here on your own, dude. Mm-hmm. And you're really, and you're, you know what? You're kind of, your life's kind of poopy. It's kind of,
let's face it,
you know, you're really not very good. And yeah, and look at all these temptations, half of them you fall into, you're kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. You're kind of a mess, mm-hmm. right? And you go, you know, you, that's when it's time to go, no. But then you have to turn to something.
Right.
You have to turn to something now. Mm-hmm. And it may be, and I'm going to help somebody out there, like maybe it's just one simple scripture that you lock onto mm-hmm. and it's just yours. Let's make it yours. You know, and you don't have to memorize it exactly as it comes out of the Bible. Sure. You should.
Right.
But you should memorize it to your soul mm-hmm. and what it means to your soul. Like yeah. you should probably go and write that scripture down and then write down below it what that means to you mm-hmm. as a person.
Yeah.
Because in that time, in that conflict, in that tactic that the enemy is using against you.
Right.
In that moment, you will have to lean into that
right,
word.
Right.
It has to have a meaning to you. So you're like, okay, because in a conflict, in mm-hmm. a battle, mm-hmm. in a fight, things are confusing.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Right. Everything's
going on.
There's a lot going on. Right. And in our, we can relate that, like say to fighting and battles and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. If mm-hmm. you boxed, you know, like, oh, you get punched in the face or, you know, you do stuff, you yeah. get choked out. You'll yeah. be like, oh, I don't know where I'm at right now.
Right.
Right. You really have to kind of lean into what you've been, you've trained yourself mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. and with God, it's not just a thing that you've trained in, it's him,
right?
Right. And right. It's actually the person of Christ. So
right.
you, when you're under that kind of conflict, you, and you say no to the enemy, mm-hmm. right? His mm-hmm. tactic, but you must turn to something.
Right.
And you have to turn to him in a substantial and real, mm-hmm. you know, like
yeah.
God, and this is what repentance is. God. Yeah. I screwed up. I'm not going to hold it against the enemy.
Right.
I'm not going to hold it against anybody. I did that, but I know you're a faithful God and that your mercy endures forever. And that you, when I confess this, you actually forgive me.
Right.
Like I don't have to like earn your forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We're here together.
Right.
Oh, by the way. Yeah. I know I fell in that area, you know, last week. But I'm back here before you. Where can I go?
Right.
I have no place else to go but you.
Right.
And so then we start to tap into God's grace, which is not just a reason to just go do whatever you
want.
Of
course. Right. Right.
I'm not saying that, but it's got to be a place that we can resort to. Mm-hmm. If you don't resort to there, if you don't live there in your soul, mm-hmm. if there isn't something there with God, you will be taken out.
Man,
like that's the reality of it. That's where you see people go and where they, you know, with the impulse and they either take their life or they just,
walk
I'm
away.
Done with this Christianity right. stuff and, or I'm done with God. I don't know that God, you know, he didn't heal last time.
Mm. Right.
Right. Or he didn't do this last time. He didn't meet me the way I thought I was supposed to be met, you know?
Yeah.
And so we can get very discouraged in that area.
Sure.
And the deal there is, what do you have to hold? Who is the rock of your salvation? the rock of your deliverance that we're talking about here.
Right.
The, who is that place, that anchor that you go to and go, hey, you know what? God, you know, everything around me is kind of my life's like messed right now. But man, I'm glad I got you. You know, and then from there, and I'm giving people some help here.
Yeah.
That's going to be your first resort because you, you know, you may more than likely you're going to be alone.
Right.
When, these tactics come, it's going to be,
well, that's what it is, tactics, right?
Is isolation. It's when you're alone, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your second move should be toward the church, the body of Christ.
That's good.
A friend, somebody you consider, I don't mean an entity, the church. I mean a person, the church.
Yeah.
To a person like, hey, you know, I'm here and I want God and I'm just, I help.
Yeah.
Or just, would you just be with me?
Yeah.
Will you just walk with me a little? Like maybe I can't even explain all I'm going through right now, but I just need you to be with me. Mm. And if you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, if you have if you have that connection in the church, which you must have, you must develop that, you have a place to go.
Yeah.
And you have a person to go to that you can trust that, and that has to be a person that you would trust your life with, because it actually may, your life may actually depend on it. Actually, right. So, like I said, the first thing is turn to God,
right?
And that's a nice thing, and it can be a real pithy saying if I just leave it there. But you will be alone most of the time in these situations, so you need to have the first turn,
right?
But I'm going to tell you, your next move must be. It's as important as turning to God.
That's so good. It,
I mean, as important.
Right.
Because he gave us people for a reason. We're here for a reason.
Yeah.
And when you turn to someone in the church, in the body of Christ, in your life that way, you know, you're turning to God.
Right.
You're turning to God in them. Right.
You're
talking, I mean, they're a house of the Holy Spirit there, you know, like let's not play games there. That's the reality. I'm not saying you're God.
Right.
I'm saying that
Christ in us.
Christ in you.
Yes.
And, right. And so why wouldn't I go there?
Wow.
Why would, you know, and then if you're a man or a woman of God that, you know, loves God and loves his people, you will walk with that person.
Yeah.
Right? Because most of the time when a person's in that situation and dealing with all these eyes and these tactics, you know, they need somebody to just walk along with them.
Yeah.
They need to know someone's walking with them.
Yeah.
And once they get that, and then someone actually has to walk with them a bit so that they can walk with others.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah.
Reattachment to the body. I was just seeing that rebuilds, it begins the rebuilding of trust. Like God actually connects brother to brother, you know, or father to son or whatever the persons are, that he connects them to establish relationship, to reestablish trust, to begin to build upon that and fortify you again. And then, you know, obviously that trust is going to need to be put in the Lord. But I believe he uses us as agents to rebuild that trust because we are extensions of him.
That's his plan. Well, you know, we talk about this scripture a lot out of, you know, the Epistle of John and you know, how can you love the invisible God if you can't love the people you see, right?
Right.
And that's a nice saying too, and we can just leave it as a nice saying, okay? But the reality is that if you in fact love the people that are in your life,
right?
Okay. That the reality of that is the word tells us that faith works by love.
Right.
Now, we can just relegate that to, oh, it's, you know, Romans 5:5. It's the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Yes. But that love is shed abroad in our lives by the Holy Spirit for a purpose in the earth.
That's right.
It's for love amongst the brethren.
That's
it's
so not,
good. It's, yes, it's love. You know, we love him because he first loved us. I get all that, but there's also this that must happen. And so that love that's happening here, as well as the love that's happening vertically with God, faith works by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like faith works. That's how it, in other words, it doesn't work any other way.
Right. Wow.
It can't work outside of love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So good.
Anyway,
this is really good.
I know we were probably getting close on time here.
And, yeah.
But
well, there's a, I mean, there's we could keep going with all kinds of eyes.
Maybe we'll take it up some other days. The eyes will have it.
This is good. Well, Dad, why don't we do this? You know, we're obviously talking about these tactics as they relate to deliverance.
Yeah.
And just off the top, off your heart, just a message for anybody who's in the middle of this, their identity's being attacked, the enemy's lying to them, they're in the middle of being intimidated, or there's fear. Maybe there's even some indifference, like you're genuinely upset about a situation, and we're just kind of stuck. How do we begin to get delivered here?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do want to speak to, you know, someone out there that, first of all, what I want to put in you by the Spirit of God, because my words are not enough, is that there's hope in Him. And you have a place in Him. So I want to first remind you of that by the Spirit of God, that you have a place in God Himself. And that place can never be taken from you. And that's His love and His care for your life. And so as you hear those words, and like I said, I pray by Holy Spirit that He will like insert that understanding, not just your knowledge, head knowledge, but in your soul, that you're so captivated by God, that you're so in Him and He in you, that no matter how bad off you might think you are at any time, you have a place with Him. And so I hope that makes sense to some of you, but I want to go beyond that. I actually just want to pray by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, I don't know who you're speaking to now. Father, we understand the tactics of the enemy, but more important, Father, we understand you. The parts of you that you've revealed to us, oh God, that you're a loving God, that great is your mercy and grace, and that we can't fall too far from you, oh God, that you're unable. You're, like you say in your word, God, your arm is not too short, oh God. So, Father, by the Spirit of God, Father, I pray right now that you would reach your arm out to anyone who needs this now, Lord. And Father, you would bring, Father, just hope, Father, right now into their bedroom, Father God, into their cell that they find themselves in. Father, I sense this, that some people feel like they're like in a cage right now. Lord, deliver. Touch, oh God, by your Spirit. Do what only you can do, mighty God. In Jesus' name, Father, we focus on you and your power and your might. I thank you, God, that you're touching someone, Father. And now, like even as we've spoken earlier, I pray, Father, right now, I know there's someone being touched by this, but that they would take the next step, oh God. And they would reach out to someone in their life that knows you. Father, that you would, Father, administer the oil of healing by that person, oh God. Father, that they would be almost like that good Samaritan, oh God, that would care for their soul, care for their physical life, oh God. Father, I just sense there's even some that are, Father, even been physically battered, oh God. Shomakaro basitio. Touch them here, oh God, now. Bring healing into their bodies. Bring hope into their souls. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.